Welcome to One on One with the Pros. Hi, I'm Tom Davis, and I'm here with the birthday fellow, Kurt Mead. How you doing there, young man?
Good, good. Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
You're looking great.
Well, not bad for 85.
85, my foot. He's 36.
Yeah, 36. Right. Times two, almost.
Oh, goodness sakes. Well, today, of course, we've got our show, and it looks like we're going to be talking about some powerful systems.
Some powerful world systems, ones of this world and ones of another world, Tom.
There we go. This is going to be good.
We got a friendly world system.
A friendly world system.
It accommodates all of our needs, especially if we want to go in debt. You probably know about that, son.
Boy, howdy.
I mean, it's there for the asking. Just sign right here, and you can have anything you want, and that's the normal. It's the acceptable. It's the type of system, but really, it kind of wants to skirt the major issues of holiness and Bible prophecy because it kind of steps on toes there.
It does a bit. I mean, you're not talking about a one-for-one exchange there, are you? You're talking about a one and a maybe.
That's right. You know, and here we in America, we're full of an appearance of godliness. I mean, we can appear godly all we want to.
Oh, sure.
I can go to Dillard's and grab me a godly-looking suit.
If God wore a suit.
If God wore a suit, that's a good point. And you know, I can have a bumper sticker on my car that says, follow me to church, and I can have all these things, and I can appear godly.
Well, yeah, you sure can.
But there's one person I can't snow.
And that would be the God person from which we get godly.
That's it. So we have this friendly world system, and you know it's really, they embrace the moment. They want us to embrace the moment. They embrace the moment, and we just can just really kind of do what we want to do, as long as we stay within the civil boundaries.
The civil boundaries.
The moral excellence. But the only problem, Tom, with moral excellence, it has a variety of standards.
It depends on which apply at which time, I guess.
That's it. You know, my moral standard may be different than yours, and yours may be different than Kevin's. And I mean, we as long as we kind of can just get along and be what the world says, basically good people. And I think all of us know that we're not basically good. We all have skeletons in our closet. And I told my son one time, he was much smaller. Now he's in his 20s, but he was probably 7 or 8 years old. And I was talking with a relative about skeletons in the closet. And he goes, man, he said, I wish I could find a skeleton in my closet.
Right, yeah.
But they say that's not the type of skeleton we're talking about.
Son. No, we're not talking about the one that says, hey, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Scaring your buddies.
That's it.
With, you know, this is the one that kind of scares you.
That's it. So we have this one friendly world system, and then we have what the Bible calls a holy nation.
Okay.
And, you know, and we in the Christian community, we want a convenient escape out of this world system maybe not so much holiness. I don't really have to monitor my tongue. I don't have to monitor my actions. I mean, I bring, you know, and basically I'm a moral person, but when it comes down to the holiness of God, I don't really want to deal with that.
Well, it's just too hard.
It's just too hard.
It's too hard.
It's just too hard. And Tom, you know, I've journaled the Bible, for years, and recently I've done the book of Exodus, and I can't believe, but it just was brought to my attention how much validity God puts in holiness, in his holy tabernacle.
A ton.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, it's easy just to say, well, Jesus covers all that for me, and I'm in good shape.
He's not your mulligan. He's not your mark.
No. It's kind of like, well, he's my cosigner. Yeah. And, you know, in a way he is if I really want to pursue his holiness. But the key to that, Tom, is, as we've talked about this for months, and I've talked about with Charlie for years on the one-on-one, we have to get to the point of being still and knowing that he's God. And the key to that is we're told that if we really want to understand holiness, we need to lay aside the effort, the work we put into this world, and labor to enter into His rest. And we don't want to do that.
We don't seem to.
We don't seem to. And, you know, there comes to a point in the book of Revelation when everything is broke loose, that we're seeing we see about the people of God actually getting serious. But we don't have to get serious right now. You know, we don't have to worry about putting our heads on a guillotine or anything like that. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about beheading and all this stuff, but, you know, we don't have to worry about that right now.
You never know when you have to. That's why you need to be prepared, because that could all turn on a dime, my friend.
Well, that's right. And we're told that this holy nation, they have a boldness about them. They're not afraid to display the holiness of God. And it's sad, Tom, because I've read articles and listened to men and women of God, supposedly good women, who mock the holiness of God. Mm. You know we talked about the nudity issue, you know, and the things that really, to God, those are holy, sacred things, and we as Christians, we mock it. And I kind of wonder, you know, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. And we talked about this earlier, that He said, okay, if you want to be holy, Kurt, you got to come to me with nothing to offer. You have to come poor in spirit. You can't come with your wit, your academic achievements, your experience, your knowledge. You have to lay it bare on the altar. And then I can build holiness in you. Have you ever been to a place, and I know you've seen it many times, you know, they're getting ready to put in a new shopping mall or I don't know, maybe a new department store. Well, what's the first thing they do to the old buildings?
Well, they tear it down.
Tear it down. And that's what's difficult, Tom, is tearing down our old life, because we, through the years, have been so accustomed to living the life, kind of like a fungus. You get a fungus, and it stays in your system so long, and your body thinks it's normal.
That's not normal.
That's not normal. But we think it is, but then one day we see that little rash or that thing that's been bothering us for a long time. We go to the professional to have it treated, and she goes, you got a fungus. It needed to be treated. But we in the Christian community, we don't want to be treated.
We kind of like our fungus just the way it is.
Just the way it is. And this holy nation, they deal with their fungus. You know, if we want an idea of what a holy nation is, we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and it gives us a hall of fame of God's Old Testament famers, you might say. They overcame. And you're talking about Rahab, who was a harlot. Mm-hmm. You're talking about people who were just fig pickers, but God called them to deliver messages to kings. You're talking about shepherds. I mean, you're talking about an array of personalities.
Indeed.
But we think, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to the New Testament. Jesus has given me a stamp of approval. You know, it's a blanket clause when what the church calls the rapture takes place, and I'm out of here. But I still have this fungus.
Yeah, you working on it?
And Jesus said, you know, Paul says this holy nation, it has to be without spot or blemish. And once again, I can't do it, Tom. Only God can do it through me. Mm-hmm. So what we have two opposing governments, and I have to decide, okay, which one, if I'm gonna be a professor and a confessor of Christ, which government do I want to actually follow?
Well, you better follow the godly one.
That's what we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the only problem is the Bible says that in the last days there'll be those many who appear godly, but they deny God's power. And that's kind of I thought to myself, before I really understood this area of holiness, I thought, well, I'm not denying God's power. The church wouldn't deny God's power. Are you denying God's power? Ooh. And we'd say, no. But I tell you what happens, Tom, the power we're denying is the power to tear down strongholds. You know what a stronghold is?
Oh, yeah. It's everything you work for.
Well, it is, and it has demonic influence. We have this, my latest newsletter here. It's called Taken Hostage at Will.
Oh, my.
And it talks about Satan's kingdom, the devil's kingdom. And, you know, he's highly organized. And his top-ranking officers, and I think we talked about this 1 week, is the principalities. They are the dominant factor. So if I look at a family, or I look at a community, or I look at a nation, I have to realize there's some dominant factors out there in that family. Who's the one taking the bull by the horn?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I say, we're not really willing to deal with these strongholds. So we have this chain of command. We have the influence of taking the bull by the horn, getting it done. You know, no matter the cost. I mean, if I bend a few rules, if I cheat someone, it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. And sometimes we do that to ourselves, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to get this done, and I'm going to get this done.
It doesn't matter what takes place. Like the other day, I crept up to a stop sign, and I thought I kind of sort of stopped. But the female officer said, all four wheels have to come to a standstill. She was gracious, gave me a warning, checked my license, make sure I wasn't some type of into a drug cartel or something. Uh-huh. And she let me go.
Good.
That's good. And she let me go. Well, that's how we are with life. We just kind of want to kind of coast. Coast to the stop signs. Coast to the laws. Mm. Coast to all this. And what happens, Tom, if we're not faithful with the boundaries of the law, then God can't use me to work outside the boundaries. So I have to first be faithful within the law before. But what we do as Christians, we'll say, well, you know, God he supersedes the law. I'm no longer bound by the law. As long as I'm a good moral person, and God says, really?
Says who?
Says who? So we go back to our uh-huh. chain of command. We got the principalities. That's the one who, the spirits that want to take control.
Yeah.
We call them the Amorite spirits. The cold-blooded principalities. They pledge their full allegiance to the prince of darkness. Who do you think that prince of darkness is?
Well, that would be Satan.
That would be Satan himself. Have you ever met him?
Probably, but I didn't know I did at the time because I'm pretty sure I made some really bad mistakes I normally wouldn't.
And so these are the blackened entities who publicly challenge all that is faithful and true. So they have to have a human allegiance. They have to have some warm flesh and blood working to get their will accomplished. So they enlist carnal participants, which is the human race, mm-hmm. to create spiritual rebellion against godly servants. I mean, Satan doesn't like what the holy nation is doing. It's just mm-hmm. too disruptive to the appearance of godliness.
Too disruptive to the appearance of godliness.
So these combative dissidents, they leverage a man's free will and rebellion towards the wise. And who's the wisest of them all?
Who's the wisest of them all?
That's right, God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know, you said that Solomon was wise, and he is wise.
Uh-huh.
But he said there's one wiser than Solomon. He didn't say it was himself, but he let them figure that out.
Oh, yeah, he was good at that. I want you to think about this a lot.
I want you to think about this. So we're kind of warned in the book of Exodus 34 that we need to listen, take heed, unless we make a covenant with these rebels. So we have this first principality, but then he transfers some of his allegiance to the Hittite powers. And these, Tom, they were real enemies of Israel, but they represent Satan's spiritual kingdom. So what this spirit does, he designates confusion in the battle. You know, you have maybe, you say in a family, you have those who are dominant, mm-hmm. but then you have the next level who are always fearful, always confused, and they confuse other people. They put, well, you don't think you need to do that? Just think what might happen. Or, oh, I don't know if that's going to work, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, and Satan is highly skilled at ministering confusion. And we think, well, you know, I don't want to be confused. Have you ever been confused?
Oh, yeah. What day is it? Yeah.
Or have you ever walked in fear?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a plan. And notice, Tom, there in the little handout there that in Ephesians 6:12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against human nature. My battle is not against you. My battle is not even against myself, but it's against principalities, against powers, the high tide, you know, I call them the high tide powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So who are the rulers of the darkness of this world? Well, they are represented by the parasites. And what they do is if I have bought into this kingdom, which I'm born into, if I have bought into this kingdom, then they hold major restrictions upon me through my distrust and my jealousy of other people. I'm bound. That makes sense? So what happens, these wicked parasite rulers, they hide people behind decorative walls because they want to guard the arrogant and the self-secured, the prideful. You know, well, I'm not that way, or I wouldn't take dominion. I'm not dominant, or I wouldn't challenge. I'm not. You know, we want to give all these reasons why we're not these ways. Mm-hmm. And the whole time God's saying, oh, really? Have you dealt with these strongholds? But the only problem, Tom, I can't deal with them until I'm walking in God's power. And I can't walk in God's power if I am attached to that appearance of godliness. I mean, I can't appear godly and snow God. I have to really get serious if I want to understand how to tear down these strongholds. So finally, probably the major spirit that is, controls most of us. It's not the Amorite. I mean, they work through our lives, not the Hittite, not the Perizzite, but it's the Canaanite. And what the Canaanite does, Tom, it bathes and subdues mankind in filthy camps. Well, what kind of filthy camps are they bathing me in? Filthy camps when we pledge our allegiance to the credit of merchants' merchandise. Goods.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go.
You know, well, I have to have that new car.
Give me some bling.
I do. Yeah. I have to have all these things. Yeah. I need a nicer car, you know, a better job. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But they hold people captive by the Bible says, the lust of the flesh. I have to have that. And so what happens after these Canaanite vulture or Canaanite spirits have captured mankind, then the Hivite vultures, they encircle the encampments of those who are you might say, they're impoverished souls made fat for the feast. So what happens? I'm getting fat for them. You know, I'm getting more because Revelation says those vultures, they're going to circle around, and at the end times, they're going to feast upon man's abundance. We think we're storing up some treasures for a rainy day.
Yeah. And some might think that there could be a big old flood. And that's how much they're storing up, you know? Yeah. Not the kind we get around. We're talking like, you know, big stuff.
Big stuff. And what happens finally, Tom, the Jebusite spirits come in and Satan, you know, you go to a deceased relative and you take him to say, I'm going to throw out Carter Davis. And he can dress that body up and make it look good and present it to the grave, and which is good. But the Jebusites, they're not satisfied with just a dead corpse. They want to mutilate it. They want to destroy it. They want to do everything they can to put it in God's face and say, oh, this is your creation. I mean, they're just not satisfied with death. They want to take it beyond death.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible thing, but the only problem, Tom, we don't know how to battle that in our churches because we're still bound by a godly appearance, and we don't address these issues. We don't want them addressed because it means I'm going to have to change. You know, it says in Hebrews one of the major things is that you need to realize that the marriage bed, don't defile the marriage bed, and that's one of the things we defile God's holy covenant with. Marriage, you know, there's so many young people living, and you know, old people. I mean, our system is set up where you get better benefits if you each or you don't get married, but you get to collect your own Social Security because you mean it means more for me. And God says, is that the route you want to go? So we have a lot to think about, And you heard this morning on George Norrie, there's a fellow on there talking about end times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this man, he talked about a financial system. And that this financial system is coming right down to what the Swedes are doing. They're getting implants in their hands to replace cash and credit cards.
It started out small. It was a voluntary little thing, now it's starting to grow.
Now, say what happens, Tom, if I give you a penny and I say, Tom, I tell you what, this is not asking a lot of you, but for the next 30 days, can you double that penny and how much money will you give me? Mm-hmm. How much for that? The first day is 2 cents. The next day is 4 cents.
4 cents, because it compounds.
It compounds. After 30 days, how much you think it is?
A lot.
And that's how it with what you said, Tom. It starts out small, but then it starts compounding. And it's all in the name of convenience. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that man didn't hit upon this morning, he may have when I left the station and went to the warehouse, but he didn't hit upon who is the God of this world.
No, he kind of left that out.
And a lot of these men who talk about Bible prophecy, they seem to forget that Satan, he is the God of this world. He can shut this system down in a heartbeat. But we want to think we're in control.
Well, he could do that with not a whole lot of effort.
maybe our government, maybe, you know, don't cut off my Social Security check. Who's to blame for that? Well, he can do all that stuff if he wants to. But if I can understand that how his system works, and I can maybe broadcast that and maybe make other people kind of twist their thinking a little bit, then maybe we can make some progress.
Maybe we can.
And I tell you what, Tom, what Satan has, he has a financial global net. And I like that word net, because that's what it is. The Bible says it's a snare. You know, we got this financial global net, but this net before long is going to capture the prey.
Well, in this article that you presented to us about chips, there are people who are gladly giving up their privacy for convenience. And they say putting that chip in their hand is very, very convenient. Well, you've just lost who you are. None of it belongs to you anymore. Once you agree to that convenience over privacy, that convenience over self, you're no longer in a whole lot of control.
And what happens, Tom, if they come in and say, you know, and this man posed this question here. He said, what happens if, say, like on a Friday, the bank says, oh, we're going to be closed, you know, for next day, 2-3 days, but come in Tuesday and we got so much money we want to put in your account, but you have to take this chip. It's not voluntary anymore.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then you say, well, how am I going to pay the mortgage on my house? You decide. And you know, the Bible says in Revelation that the good news is many people are going to decide the right way, but they're going to have to lose their life.
Unfortunately, that's the way it's written.
And God has a great reward for those who lay down their life during the tribulation period. He said they're going to be kings and priests. Have you ever heard of the millennial reign?
Yeah, yes, I have.
It's the 1,000-year reign after this tribulation period comes to an end. And during the millennial reign, these kings and priests, people who said, I'm not going to take this mark. I know where this is leading to. They'll be set up as kings and priests. But where the church kind of, you know, they really miss it, Tom, this holy nation, they're taking, Jesus said, I provide a means of escape, that you be worthy to escape. And to me, that means that you be holy. You be worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass. So what happens, the church preaches, okay, at the beginning of at the end of the tribulation period, before the millennial reign, these people come back. And I think to myself, I don't want to, if I'm out of here, I don't want to come back to some type of war-torn earth. I mean, it's going to be terrible.
Who'd want that? I mean, really?
But no, I mean, a king and a priest, they have their, that's the reward for laying their life down. But if I'm out of here, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Bible says. Once I'm out of here, I'm up there in that New Jerusalem. I'm up there around God's throne room. But the church misses that. They want that convenient escape. They want that convenient form of godliness. And that's why it's kind of, you kind of hit your head against the wall when you talk about these things, because it kind of goes against the grain of religion. You know, we don't think God is really that serious. We think he's kind of like a Santa Claus.
Well, I got news for you.
And so if we can, and that's what we do at Wellspring. We address all these issues, and we have sponsors. And I want to thank that we have individual sponsors too, Tom, people who come to the clinic and they're faithful to support it. But I would like to thank K&M, and I believe we have a spot on the radio.
And his son.
K&M Lawn Care is more than just your typical lawn care service. They trim hedges, clean out fence lines, haul off any unwanted items, even appliances, clean out your garage and house of unwanted items, and dispose of them for you. If your gutters need cleaning, leaves, dirt, and debris, you guess it, K&M will do that too. Call the pros at K&M at 918-534-8045 or 918-766-1191, and they'll give you a free estimate. K&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Care, 605 North Osage Avenue in Dewey. Proud sponsor of Wellspring Life Clinic.
And I see K&M all over the place. I do.
I'll tell them, pass the word along, that you see them everywhere, and give them a call. They're great. I've had them trim bushes and everything else, cut lawns and overhaul my mower, so they're good what they do.
Indeed they are.
And then also we have Aaron's Performance.
Yes.
He's halfway to Dewey, across the highway from AFC Glass, and if someone would like to contact him, they can reach him at 918-440-9754, 440-9754. I don't know how he gets so much done, Tom, because when you come in, he'll talk to you and tell you what the problem is and tell you what can cause a problem, and you think, Aaron, you got other people you need to wait or other cars you need to service, but he takes time to talk to you about your issues.
That's because he's invested in you like you're invested in him.
That's it, and that's what we do at Wellspring. We take time to deal with people's issues, and you know, I guess the main thing I've seen lately, Tom, is not so much dealing with the issues, but dealing with the plagues, the influence of our mind, because the Bible says we need to cast down these vain or worthless imaginations, because if we don't, those old strongholds will come and attack us, and we think we're good, but really, as far as God's concerned, we're not that good.
Mm. Now, if they want to get a hold of you at Wellspring, how do we do that?
They can reach me at 918-397-0284. 918-397-0284. We're just south of RX Express on Chalwell, 132 Southeast Chalwell. That's 132 Southeast Chalwell. I'm usually there from mid-morning to early afternoon, and a person can always call me after hours. I mean, it's my cell phone I have on, so it's no big deal to me.
You can find you anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. You'll see me all over town like K&M Lawn Care.
That's true. Sometimes I run into you at like 3:10 in the morning.
Yeah, no telling when you'll see me out in the
back. Then again at 4:10.
Well, I don't know. Maybe my son is following in my footsteps, because his lifting at Kolaw's last night at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness sakes. My goodness sakes.
Maybe next time he goes to lift, I'll tell him, well, swing by Tom. So he might go with you.
Yeah, I might. You never know. Yeah, I'm starting a new thing here, so hopefully it'll work.
It will. I'm sure it will. Well, Tom, thanks for taking time to have the broadcast here. I know it's not the norm, but it's not supposed to be the norm. God's Holy Nation is not the norm. It's completely different. It's diabolically opposed to.
Well, I tell you what, we stir it up pretty good, because people talk about us, that's for sure. And again, I want to wish you a very, very, very happy birthday today. And of course, a very nice young lady made a nice cake for you there. And it looks delicious for a fellow who could probably use a bite right about now, because you've been up and at it for gosh knows how long today. So, Kurt, once again, we'll visit you at Wellspring, and we'll see you pretty darn soon here around the radio station. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom.
All righty.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.
Dignity.